day is Israel choosing a king. I left off speaking to you last week where Hannah was brought to where she was weaning Samuel, and she wouldn't take Samuel up to the tabernacle until she had weaned him. And after she had weaned him, we find that she took him up to Eli. And when she came there, she presented herself unto Eli and said unto him, I am the woman that prayed by thee standing here, and this is the child that I prayed for. For this child I prayed, and this is the child that God has given unto me. And they worship God there. And we find then that Hannah brought, according to her vow, her son up to the tabernacle. He was going to remain there now for the rest of his life. She loaned him unto the Lord, and therefore she brought him up to this place. According to the commentary, some say he was about 2 or 3 years of age. Others say that he was about 7 or 8. Anyway, he was young. The child was very young. But Hannah, she had that she could tell Eli, for this child I prayed, and the Lord heard me and answered me, and here is the child that he has given unto me. And my hearers, have you ever had an answer to prayer? What a blessing if you have had. To think that a worm of the dust, a sinner, who don't deserve that God should ever listen to him or her, should gain the ear of God and should receive that which you have sought him for and requested him for. What a mercy if we likewise can say that in that time I was in distress, I was afflicted, I was near death, and I cried to God in my affliction, in my pain, and he heard me, and he spared my life, and he raised me up again. I think I'm touching some of the points that some of you people have experienced in life. It's a mercy when God does this to us. We are not to forget that. It's a much greater mercy if God has given unto us grace and we have been seeking to find Jesus Christ. Where we are sinners and where we feel lost without him, if the day should come that God should hear and answer your prayer and give you to find this precious Jesus, and then you will experience something of what Samuel did likewise. He was lent unto the Lord all the days of his life. And if God should pardon you and reconcile you with himself through his dear son Jesus, then your life will be for him. From that day forward, you will live for the Lord, and you will walk in his ways. Who would not? You will be filled with gratitude towards your heavenly benefactor in saving you and pardoning you and giving you the joys of his salvation. And now Hannah, she left her son at this particular tabernacle with Eli. I do not wish to dwell any longer upon this point, my hearers. I'm falling way behind with the other classes in teaching the lesson. Today our lesson is about Israel choosing a king. We will jump from Samuel's childhood to when he became an old man. In the 8th chapter, we find that Samuel, he had become old. And instead of him ruling and governing and judging Israel, he placed his sons in his position. And now his sons, they walked not in their father's footsteps. For his sons, they were evil. They perverted judgment, and they accepted bribes. Now, my hearers, Samuel became old. But this is the lot. If God blesses us and gives us life, then we likewise will become old. There are many people that never become old. There are many that die in infancy. There are many that die when they are very young in life. You cannot say that they have become old. Many pass away in the middle age, and very few. The Bible teaches us attains that age of 70 and 80 years. Many die before they get there. We have some in our congregation. They've been blessed by God, as he has said in Psalm 91, that those that fear him and walk in his ways, they likewise, he will bless them with a long life and satisfy them with his salvation. How few, my hearers, even of those amongst us that have attained the age of 70, some are even 80, they have been blessed with a long life. How few can say that they have that which was added to the text, a salvation. It's much better if we receive salvation than have a long life. Because even with our long life, and if we have not salvation, we will perish eternally. Now, when a person becomes old, I will take you back to Proverbs 12. There we find a very good description of old age. And when a person becomes old, then we find that the hands that were so firm and so strong and could hold things very remarkably, they begin to tremble. The eyes that a person has, they begin to become dim. They begin to become darkened. We need glasses. The teeth that we have in our mouth, the grinders, they cease to grind. Many of us, we have false teeth, even when we're young already. But this is a sign of old age, when our teeth begin to go. And we find likewise that our feet, they don't go the way they used to either. You take notice of people that are bent with age. They don't walk too fast anymore. They're just about crawling over the earth. Signs that the tabernacle is decaying. The time comes when this wonderful mechanism that we are made of decomposes itself and it falls in a heap and it returns to the dust and the spirit returns to God who gave it. This is what takes place if God spares us and we become old. And now, my hearers, this man Samuel, he was blessed by God with old age and blessed likewise with salvation. From a child, he had walked with God. He had served God. You heard the chapter read. He could witness before all Israel that he had been a righteous man, that he had done that which was right in the sight of God. And if anyone could witness against him, he was ready to pay him back. Nobody had anything to say against Samuel. What a mercy if we can stand before the people and before God and say, witness against me, like he did. I think there isn't one maybe in our midst that could do that. This man then, he was exceptionally blessed with a close life too. And now he became old. This man was an eminent prophet. He was useful for God and for the generation in which he lived. He was gifted likewise to even anoint kings. And he became 98 years of age. Remarkable. That's how long that he lived. And now he had two sons, Joel and Abihu. These two sons, they were wicked creatures. They didn't walk as their father did walk, but they perverted judgment and they accepted bribes. This is so often the case, my hearers, that God-fearing parents that have children, they find as their children grow up, they do not walk in their footsteps. We have any number of instances of it in the Bible. I had to skip the lesson of Eli and his two sons. He had two wicked sons. They were wicked beyond comparison, and because of their wickedness, God slew them. He couldn't bear with them any longer. Now we have two sons. They are wicked too. They are sons of a God-fearing man, as I just described Samuel. You may be sure that he instructed his children in the ways of the Lord. Many times he knelt down with them and prayed. And parents that are listening to me, you are duty bound likewise to bring your children up in the fear and in the nurture of God. You are likewise to pray for them and with them. And now these two sons, they were not obedient to their father. This happens so often. Children grow up. When they're little, we can take them by the hand and we can do with them as we want. But when they become a little older, they got a mind of their own and they got a will of their own, and they're going to go their own way. Now, I don't say that all children do this. Don't mistake me. But it happens many times. They want to go their own way, they want to live their own life. And any parent that lets a child do this, I read that in the sermon this morning, they will rue the day that they've let their children go their own way. And they likewise will have the consequences of it in all the anxiety and all the distress and all the grief and sorrow that such children bring upon the parents. Now, these two young men then were wicked. And we find that so often, my hearers. How many parents, even listening to me, must say yes? Oh, my children, when they were small, oh, they were so obedient, they were such good children. And we cast so many fond gazes and loving affections upon them, but oh, they got older, and oh, they turned against us. They wouldn't listen to us. They were disobedient to us. Regardless of what we said to them, they went their own way. How often parents have laid awake, sometimes all night. Children don't tell them where they go. They don't know where they are. They don't come home. The parents are laying awake wondering where their children are. I know, I was a parent. I went through that. It isn't a very nice experience. It's a blessing if a child is obedient and says, Mother, Dad, I'm going to this place. I expect to be home at this time. And then you know if they are obedient, they will be. But how many, they don't tell their parents where they're going. They go to places where they're not supposed to go. And then they come home sometimes in the wee hours of the morning. You talk to them. You try to explain to them what they're doing. Headstrong. They go out in their own ways. They're wicked children. My hearers, I've been giving you a little explanation of what life is. And that's what it was for Samuel, too. It was a grief to Samuel that his two sons were that way. You may be sure of it. And now all Israel knew that these two sons didn't walk in the ways of their father. So they appealed unto Samuel. And they came to Samuel and they said, Samuel, your sons don't do as you do. You know they're not living the way you did. We want you to make a king over us, just like all the other nations. They have kings that go out with them to fight their battles. They have kings that rule over them and govern them. And now we want a king too. Now, of course, this was a grief to Samuel. He had been appointed by God, and he had been a faithful judge and a ruler over these people. They had a man that had connection with heaven, and that's a blessing. If you have somebody that's ruled and governed this country, and he is a child of God, and he has communion with God, what a blessing. This Israel was favored with many times. In fact, God was their king. God placed these men over them. And now they came to Samuel, and they wanted somebody to rule them and to govern them. In other words, they rejected Samuel, and they rejected his sons. And this hurt. And Samuel, he went to the Lord, and he prayed to the Lord about the matter. And the Lord answered him and said, Samuel, do as the people have asked you. Hearken unto their voice. They've not only rejected you, but they have rejected me, God says to him. Since the day that I brought these people up out of the land of Egypt, even to this very day, they've done nothing else but walk contrary to me, and they've went and served idols, and they have likewise now rejected me. And now Samuel, he felt very grieved about this matter, but this was more or less a consolation to him that God also was grieved because of Israel demanding to have a king. And now, my friends, this, what Israel did and what they desired, we are guilty of too. In Adam, our covenant head, we had God as our king, a wonderful king. But it behooved us to fall away from him in and through Satan's temptation, and we have now Satan as our king. We serve him. We serve the devil. We serve sin. We serve the world. We serve our lust, our passions. This is what each and every one of us do by nature. This is the king that we have. And now Israel, they demanded that they should have a king. And God said unto Samuel, listen to their voice. Tell them what kind of a king they're going to have. And now Samuel had to instruct these people in what sort of a king they were going to have. The king that they were going to have, why, he was going to take their sons and he was going to place them in his army, and half of them would have to work for him. He would take their daughters and they would be confectionaries. They would have to bake for him and keep his table. And then in the end, these very same people, they would cry out because of their king. Such a kind of a king that they were going to have. But irrespective of what Samuel said about this king that they were going to have, they said, no, we still want a king, just like the other nations have. And now, are we any different, my hearers? Are you not told what sort of a king you are serving? Are you not told if you continue on serving this king, what the end will be? There's no happiness in store for anyone that goes on in his sins and that serves the devil and worships those things that the devil presents to your mind and to your fancy and to your passions. Onward you go, irrespective of how many times you are warned and told that if you continue on under the government of this king, you will perish. You aren't any different than Israel. Israel wanted a king, one that would go out before them and fight with them and do as other kings did. And Samuel again went to God, and God said to him, Samuel, hearken unto the people and place a king over them. Now, it's remarkable that these people didn't bring to Samuel someone that they wanted to have king. But they came to him and asked him to give them a king. Then it's remarkable again that Samuel didn't have anybody either that he was going to put over him. He didn't have anybody of his choice. He told these people to return to their tribes, and he would see to it that they got a king. And now Samuel, he wanted God to give someone to be their king. And now we find that there was a certain man by the name of Kish, a Benjamite. He was a man of great power and of great wealth. He had a great estate, and he was a great man in Benjamin. And he had a son by the name of Saul. He was a goodly person. He was a shoulder and a head above everybody else in Israel, and a good-looking young man, tall, handsome, somebody that you and I even would look up to and look, give a second look. Now, this is the character and picture we have of Saul. And now Kish, his father, he had lost some asses. And they had gone astray somewheres, and they couldn't find them. This was not uncommon in the East, where in those times they didn't have fences, they didn't have barriers. They let their cattle roam. They did have some sort of a mark upon their animals to distinguish them from others. But they took these cattle many times to various places for pasture. You read that with Joseph, that he had to go to find his brethren. They had went a long ways from home with them cattle to feed him. And now these asses of Kish, they had went astray. And he told his son Saul to go and find these asses and take a servant with thee. Now this man Saul, he must have been married already, and he must have had children. And he was living with his father. In all probabilities, he had such a great estate that this son Saul lived with him. And Saul and a servant set out to look for these asses. They went through the land of Ephraim, they went through two other lands, and they came to the land of Benjamin, and they couldn't find them. 3 days looking for the asses, and nowhere were they to be found. Finally, Saul says to the servant, listen, we better go back home, because my father will be worrying about me. He'll be wondering where I am. And he'll be going out looking for me. He'll be thinking maybe I had an accident or that I'm lost myself. It's better that we return home. Now, in this, my hearers, that we have the great respect that Saul had for his parents. Being he was gone 3 days, he began to think, well, they're going to worry about me. They'll be wondering what's the matter with me. And rather than have them worry about me, I better go home. So that will ease their minds and take that worry off their minds. You see in this that he had love for his parents and respect for them, and that he was in this respect an obedient son. Again, we have the subject of a young man being obedient in this respect. How many children aren't like Saul? How many care not? How much anxiety, how much worry they cause their parents. Never even think about their parents. They're enjoying their pleasures, and that's all that they have on their minds. The poor parents are worried to death sometimes about the children. What do you want to worry about me for? I'm all right. That's the answer that they get. Oh, there may be some young people listening to me that aren't parents yet, but when you become a parent yourself, then you will grow up with your child and you will find what I'm speaking about is the truth. Oh, what a mercy to have children, as I said before, that are obedient and that let you know where they're going and what they're doing. Saul was then a good man in this respect. And now this servant, he seemed to be a religious young man, because he said to Saul, listen, he says, we're right near the place, he says, where the seer lives. At that time, they didn't call him a prophet, but they called him a seer. A seer meant one that had a foreknowledge of things that were to come and could tell you things that would come. And now this young man, he seemed to have known Samuel, because he says there's a man of God that lives in this city, and he's an honorable man. He's a respected man, and everything that he says comes to pass. He speaks well of this man, Samuel. Samuel then had the honor and the reputation of being a good man, an upright man, an honest man. What a blessing if we have such a character and we have such honor among people even, as Samuel had among the Israelites. And now Saul, he says, what will we give the man? He says, all the bread is spent in the vessel and we haven't got anything to give him. Well, the young man says, I've got the fourth part of a shekel here. Let's give him that. Now, a shekel is worth 66 cents, so the fourth part of a shekel was about 16 and a half cents. Not very much to give the man, was it? But it seems at that time that they always came with a present to the seer, to the prophet, who they inquired of certain things. So Saul says, well said, let's go. So they go up towards the city, and as they're going up towards the city, they meet some maidens, and they inquire if the seer is in the city. Yes, they said, that there's going to be a sacrifice, and all the people are gathered together, and they're waiting for him to come. So if you go up, you're sure to meet him, because he's coming into the city. The people won't eat until Samuel has come. So we find Saul going up with his servant to the city, and as he's going up, he comes into the gate, and there sits Samuel. And he says to Samuel, is the seer here? You see in this that Saul never met Samuel. And that isn't to his credit, because almost all Israel knew about Samuel, what a God-fearing man he was. But it seems Saul, he had lived such a secluded life that he never had met Samuel and never even heard of him. Because he says, is the seer here? And Samuel says, I am the seer. Go up before me. Of course, you're going to eat with me today, and you're going to stay with me, and tomorrow I will make known the word of God unto you. The day before, God had whispered in the ear of Samuel that he was sending somebody out of the tribe of Benjamin, and that this man would be the captain over his people, because the cry of the children of Israel had come up before him, and they were crying because of the oppression of the Philistines. And now, because they cried to God, God was going to give them a captain. He was going to give them a king. And this man that Samuel now met was the man of God's choice. Now, isn't this a remarkable providence? That these asses had to be lost, and that this man, he just had to go looking for these asses, and he wound up by Samuel. He had no idea that he was going to be king. He had no thought of it. He didn't know Samuel. It's a remarkable providence when you consider this. And now Samuel, he had instructions from God that this young man was going to be the captain, the king over his people. Now these people, in demanding a king, if they had come to Samuel and said to Samuel, Samuel, please ask God to give us a king, because you're too old to rule us, and your sons, they're not like you. They didn't come that way to Samuel. They demanded to have a king. If they'd have abided by the ruling and the government of Samuel, God would have given them a king, because God was going to raise up David to be their king. But they insisted on having a king right now. And now God is going to give them a king, but not in his favor, not in his grace. It's remarkable how this man is led this way. Much more remarkable afterwards. For we find that Samuel, he took him up and he placed him amongst the guests that were gathered together to eat. There were about 30 people there. And he sat with them, and he received a goodly portion, and he slept with Samuel that night. He slept in Samuel's house. And the next morning they rose up early, and Samuel, he went with Saul and with the servant. And when they got to a certain place, he said, bid your servant pass on, for I have something to say to you. And Samuel begins to speak unto Saul, and tells him what God had revealed unto him. That when he would go down from this place, he would meet a company of prophets that were coming down from the high place where they had worshiped. And when he met these prophets, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him, and he would prophesy. And then he would go a little further, and then he would meet somebody that would tell him that the asses of his father was found, and his father was seeking him, sorrowing. And that when he went a little further, then he would likewise receive a new heart. And that when he had these things, then he should go to Gilgal and remain there 7 days until Samuel came, and then Samuel would further instruct him in the ways of God. And now he says, when all these things come to pass, be sure, he says, that you listen to God. And now that same day, all these things took place with this man Saul. For the instant that he turned his back from Samuel, he became another man. He received another heart, it says. And when he went down, he met a company of prophets. And these prophets, they were prophesying. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul, and he began to prophesy. And the word was around throughout Israel, is Saul amongst the prophets? Because he was prophesying with these prophets. And then we find that he likewise received another heart. And then he went to Gilgal, as he had been commanded of by Samuel. And now, my hearers, this is a remarkable thing. Samuel told him just what was going to take place with him, and it all happened to him in one day. When he turned away from Samuel, he became another man. When he got to where the prophets were, the Spirit of God came upon him and he prophesied. And then he received likewise another heart. Now, when you read these things, I'm sure most of you people think, well, what am I going to make of this man? Isn't he a child of God? You would think so, wouldn't you? A man can be changed. He can become another man. The Spirit of God can come upon a person, and that person can be useful even in the Church of Christ. He can be a prophet. He could be a minister. He could edify even Christ's people. And he could receive a heart that would give him to rule and to govern even the church and still be without the grace of God, be without being born again, being without the sanctifying influences of the Spirit of God. The Spirit came upon him suddenly. It caused him to prophesy as these prophets were prophesying. But the Spirit did not come down into his heart to abide with him, because Saul, amongst the prophets, was still Saul, an ungodly man. This man, then, he experienced much in this one day. And we ought to be very careful, my hearers, for sudden conversions, for things that take place immediately. For those things that take place in one day, we should let them winter over it. And it will soon be seen whether it's God's work or not. It was soon found out that it was not the work of God in Saul. Much can happen to a person. His character can be changed. His mode of life can be changed. His conversation can be changed. And he can live an altogether different life and still be without the grace of God, without a new heart, without faith. All my hearers, when these things are read by God's dear children, they begin to think sometimes, I'm just like Saul. There was a time maybe when you became another person. There was a time maybe when the Spirit of God came down upon you and you began to prophesy even and tell things that took place with yourself and was probably going to take place. And there may be enough time to just like with Saul, that you thought and believed that you had another heart. Oh, my hearers, we read of Balaam, that prophet, who likewise had the Spirit of God, and that came upon him, and he had to speak as God gave him to speak. And now, because the Spirit came upon him, that doesn't say that that man was converted, that he had love to God and that he served God. No. And we find that he loved the wages of unrighteousness, and that he likewise died in the battle with Israel of old. This teaches us that we should so examine ourselves whether we have the grace of God in our souls, the sanctifying influences thereof. For when this Spirit comes down into a person, it remains there. This Spirit came upon Saul very suddenly. It didn't come into him. It just came upon him. It left him Saul. And now we find that this man, Saul, he went to Gilgal. And there Samuel came down to Gilgal, and he called all the people together to him. And now this man, Samuel, he had to anoint this man, Saul. This is something that I forgot to say, that in the morning they came out, he took a vial of oil, and he broke it over his head, and he anointed him. And then he told them that all these things would take place. He was anointed out of a vow that was breakable. But David, he was anointed out of a horn of oil. And when kings, prophets, and priests were anointed, it pointed forth to the offices of Christ, that he would fulfill these offices in his church, that he likewise would be prophet, priest, and king. For Christ was anointed from the Father. But David, he was anointed likewise out of a horn of oil by Samuel, which meant integrity, it meant durability, it meant God's blessing upon him. This Saul only was anointed with a vial. This meant that his kingdom would not remain. Now what happened to Saul, and how that he likewise lost even his life and took his own life, we hope to teach sometime. But whether we're going to have this in this program, I know not. In fact, I can't keep up with this program, as you notice. I'm just jumping over the top of many things which would be very interesting and very edifying. But to keep up with the class and with the program, next week we have the story about Peter, if I'm not mistaken. Peter, he denied his Lord and Master. This then will be the subject next week, the Lord willing. Our time is gone. That's all.